Hi, I'm Marie Crowe and welcome back to Greenball, the Irish cricket podcast show. In this episode, we'll be talking to Ireland head coach Heinrich Malan and captain Andrew Balbirnie, who have joined us in the HPV studios, looking back and discussing the summer of 2022, the T20 World Cup in Australia and what we can look forward to in 2023. So let's get on with the show and speak to both Heinrich and Andrew. So Andrew, you're sitting closest to me. We are coming towards the end of 2022. What was the standout moment for you?
There was quite a lot of highlights I could rattle through. I think the win in West Indies was massive just because the state of the squad in terms of COVID. We met a squad, we met the boards, we didn't want to play, we wanted to go home because there was so much testing. We were told you can't go home, you have to play. So the lads just got on with it and won a series, which is pretty, kind of went under the radar how huge an achievement that was. I think the Scotland game in the World Cup was something that sort of changed the dynamic of that tour. It was certainly sort of staring down the barrel territory, and Curtis and George produced something incredibly special and got us over the line and then started a bit of a roll for us. So I think those two moments, both at, you know, the start of the year and sort of the back end of the year, are the two standouts. If I had to pick one, it's probably the Scotland game.
Heinrich?
I was just trying to reminisce some thoughts there as Billy was talking. I think the understanding of where we want to try and get to for me is probably the one thing that now reflecting on it at the end of the year is sort of standing out. You know, we've tried to create a lot more clarity around the way we want to operate, what that looks like. We played a lot of T20 cricket, and I guess for me we're in a space now in the T20 space where got a sound understanding of what that looks like and how we move forward is really important now. And it's also exciting to think, you know, that moving forward we're going to play a lot more cricket, and hopefully we can keep deriving that understanding of what clarity looks like for us across those formats.
And do you mean that as well in terms of the specific roles of your players? Because that's something that seems to have come out throughout the year, that the players know exactly what's expected of them.
Take wickets and score runs, I guess. I think that's the one thing we've trying to be really clear on. we don't necessarily talk about it as a role, but more as an impact. Like, how do we impact the game consistently? And we've obviously tried to explore in that space too. And moving Lorcan up the order, and trying to create some clarity around what that means for the rest of our players. You know, coming in post overs 12 and onwards and play a certain way and backing them to do a role and an impact in a certain way. And I think if you reflect back on it now, you know, there's quite a few guys now that are really clear on what that looks like, and go out there and try and do that consistently. Will it consistently come off? Hopefully. But if it doesn't, you know, it's still the reflection piece around the performance side of things. And Bally's spoken quite openly about, you know, us reflecting on the performance side of things, not necessarily the outcome side of things. And I guess when you look at it now, that clarity that we're trying to create around our performance has got us in this good position where guys are really committed to the brand that we want to try and play every time we do.
Are you feeling that as well? Like, can you get that sense from the guys around you that they are feeling like they have that clarity?
I think so. I think last year, towards the back end of last calendar year, 2021, you know, you'd look down the team and you were still maybe unsure if we were getting the best out of the players and even the players who weren't in the squad. We certainly had a lot of good cricketers. You just have to look at our team at the last World Cup. Lorcan didn't play, George didn't play. In hindsight, we maybe got that wrong. And we weren't really sure of the certain roles. Heinrich spoke a lot about how the T20 game is always changing and we've got to kind of keep up with that as much as we can. And I certainly think that given the guys, the clarity has allowed them to take their game to the next level. And we've seen that in some of the performances from individuals, spread out throughout the whole year. I think you could look down, you know, our 12, 13 players and each of them have had a day out and played an amazing performance or whatever. So that's a huge part of the game, is giving the guys the clarity of thought so that when they get out there, they know exactly what they want to do. And if they fail doing it, so be it. That's the way it goes. And the next game, they go out and do the same.
Heinrich, you mentioned reflection, and we know when it comes to high performance coaching that's such a key part now. But when you look back on the year, what was the biggest lesson that you learned in the role?
Very good question. I think there's quite a few things that not necessarily stand out, but just an awareness side of things that you got to probably try and create around, you know, where we're at, but also from an expectation point of view, trying to understand where we've gone to. You know, one of the things that I've probably mentioned to our senior leadership staff group a lot is, you know, I've come into this role on the back of, you know, a lot of domestic cricket, and not necessarily, you know, there's a lot of angst from their point of view around, you know, understanding knockout cricket, you know, and I think subtly being aware of that was probably one of the things that I had to keep evolving myself in terms of making sure that for me it's just another cricket game, and that's how I approach every day of working, because I want us to keep improving. But for the players who's come through the last 10, 12 years going to qualifiers, it's life and death every time, and just trying to, you know, look ahead in terms of, you know, where we're going, what's coming up next year. I think I've said it a couple of times in the media, this World Cup is not the end, it's actually the start of something, and it's the start of our path as a group and how we want to try and operate, what does it look like. And I think that's the most exciting piece, you know, for me, around reflecting back and taking some learnings, but also then trying to understand what that means within the current group, moving forward, and how we use that as part of our expectation management.
Now, he's sitting beside you, so it's going to be a difficult one to answer, but how has the dynamic between you guys evolved as you've got to know each other, Andy?
Yeah, I think it's been pretty positive. I've been very fortunate as a player that I've been, I've had access to really top coaches, and I don't think Heinrich's any different. I think he came in at a stage where we were still looking to find that, you know, T20 was a focus for us because it had the World Cup at the end of it. You know, we met as soon as he arrived, and we talked about different players and different roles that we wanted guys to do, and we both agreed that clarity was a really important thing for the group. And you know, we had results throughout the summer that maybe were disappointing, but the performance was there. And I think, just, you know, he spoke about me wanting the guys to go out and play with that freedom, but it's all well and good me saying that, but as long as Heinrich's got my back as well, which I think we do that pretty well. We have each other's back, and it's paid off. We're not going to get everything right. We're going to disagree on things, but that's important as well. You've got to have that kind of, you know, mutual debate over selection or whatever it is. But as long as we're all singing off the same hymn sheet, that's important. So I'm just looking forward to kind of getting cracking with Test cricket, ODI cricket, as well as, you know, T20 cricket next year, and see how we go from there.
Heinrich, how would you say you've got on with Andy throughout the year?
Look, the relationship that we're trying to build is obviously, and I say this too often, it's like a married couple, isn't it? You know, we're not always going to agree on everything, and I don't want us to agree on everything. You know, sometimes I have some ideas which I roll past him, and you know, he does it or he doesn't out on the field. But I also think that a big part of what I'm about as a coach is allowing people to, or empowering people to go out there and play. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the things. Even at this past World Cup, you know, you would have seen at overs 10 when there's a drinks break, you know, a lot of the other support staff people run out and go and chat to the players. Deliberately, we haven't done that. You know, we want our players to take that ownership, that responsibility around the way we play. What does it look like? We believe we do our work leading into games and between games, not necessarily on game day. And I think all of that, you know, hopefully allows Bally to go out there and captain us, our team, with that freedom, you know, that we'll back whatever he does out there. Does that mean we're not going to reflect and review and chat about what that looks like moving forward? 100%. That's part of how we try and set up and how we try and operate. But look, I've really enjoyed, you know, working with a group that is very diverse. You know, we've got some senior statesmen, we've got some very rookies that are very raw, and then we've got a nice little balance in the middle there. You know, and working with Bally around setting up a bit of a senior leadership group. You know, his confidence out there in the middle around how they operate, you know, how do we interact with them, plant some seeds so that they can go out there, have those conversations, have those discussions, and hopefully, you know, more times than not, try and get it right in the moment, because that's when it counts, you know, when you got to make those decisions out there in the middle.
Okay, let's have a look back at the summer. You mentioned there was a few disappointments, and that was the T20 series against India, New Zealand and South Africa. But at the same time, although the result was disappointing, there was a lot of positives to take away, you'd have to feel.
Yeah, certainly when you have close losses, you do a lot of reflecting on what you could have done and what you could do better in the next game. the second T20 against India, I just remember sitting in the change room, and I think the way that we had gone about that chase in the second innings, there was certainly a bit of confidence in the group that, okay, we can actually. And I know, you know, every time you beat a top team or you run a close team. If you run a team close, you have that belief. But I think there was definitely a different energy to the group in the change room after the game. The way we went about it, really disappointed not to have won the game, and that was a bit of a change in mindset in the group that maybe I hadn't seen necessarily consistently over the years. So I suppose that the ODIs were really disappointing, because I think in the first and the third game we were in winning positions and lost, whereas before, we've had big success, we've probably gone the other way. We've been in losing positions and won. So that was kind of maybe just a bit of lack of experience or lack of being in that moment consistently. But at the same time, we played pretty good cricket. And I think that's, and we've spoken about performances, and I've always said it, and I've publicly said it, that we're not a big sport. So we need to kind of bring people in. And by bringing people in, we need to play good cricket, win or lose. And I think we did that throughout the summer. There was maybe a couple of occasions where it didn't come off, but that's going to happen. And certainly I think all the disappointment in the summer with the losses that we had, to then win a series against Afghanistan and then have a pretty successful World Cup as well, I think we kind of got our luck and got our kind of rub the green towards the back end of the year.
Heinrich, in the aftermath of those disappointments, you said the more we play big games, the more we play consistent cricket at big levels, and we'll get better at it. And it seemed to be how it played out.
100%. And I think I've said it a couple of times too. You know, after the Indian series, there's probably a bit of surprise around the way we played, with people being, you know, even in our change room, being excited that we could compete with these guys. But after the New Zealand series, you know, there was probably a little bit of disappointment, because we thought we actually we didn't play that well. Then in the South African series over in the UK, we were actually really angry, because we were really felt like that, you know, we had an opportunity to do something special. And I think all of those things, you know, reflecting back on it now, playing those big games, as we've mentioned there, you know, got us into a space where we got into that Scotland game in the World Cup. And even though we were behind the eight ball, we knew what we were about. We've played a lot of games together as a team. You know, we had a real focus throughout the year to make sure that we build up to the World Cup. We've said that publicly a couple of times too, around, you know, that's our pinnacle event. And making sure that players are comfortable within their space, within our environment, and know what they need to do. And the way that Dockers and Curtis went about their business highlighted that, and you know, pretty much just summed up what we were trying to get to at the back end of the summer through focusing on the performance and the process piece.
Afghanistan must have given you a lot of pride, just coming off the back of the disappointment, to be able to put in performances and just be able to take that scalp.
Yeah, I don't think we'd ever beaten them in a T20 series. They have far more experience in T20 cricket than we do, the names in their team sheet compared to ours. Obviously a home series, so you want to do well in a home series, but to win the first two games, I think we lost the next two games, and then obviously had a crunch game and there was a bit of rain, and that was a huge kind of, I don't want to say monkey off the back, but it was certainly a bit of a, just rather than winning one game, to actually win a series, a five-game series, to go into the World Cup with that kind of behind us was great. And yeah, just I think that disappointment of the summer just helped us, and also showed how important it is to enjoy the winning feeling, because it doesn't happen that often, and the more top teams you play, you've got to kind of appreciate those wins even more. And I think certainly the Afghanistan series will probably go under the radar, I think, this as a calendar year, but from a T20 point of view, that was a huge kind of 10 days.
Yeah, and I guess it goes under the radar because it was topped in terms of achievement a little while after. But for you, what pleased you most about Afghanistan?
Probably the piece that, you know, we knew a fair few of those players quite well. We've obviously played against them quite a lot of cricket. And in this space, we haven't necessarily been that successful against them. So to be able to put all of that together, on the back of knowing how we want to operate, how we can look to take the game forward, and what that means from an individual point of view through our strengths, to then see the guys get across the line in that last game, you know, probably just highlighted that we're on the right path or on how we want to try and operate, and then starting to see people believing that. And a big part of short format cricket, I believe, is that understanding that we're all on the same page around how we want to operate. And I think it got highlighted at the back end of that that series, which is a huge series for us, you know, to get us prepared and ultimately believe that we could roll into the World Cup and get into that second round and you know, keep doing and playing some good cricket. Like we did at stages, and unfortunately the other stage didn't, but you know, that's part of it as well.
So what was the mindset heading to Australia then?
I think certainly that we knew how important that first week was going to be. That was, you know, obvious and plain to see to absolutely everyone. We experienced it last year and failed to do so, having started the tournament well. But certainly everything was geared towards getting out of the group. That week is such a pressurised week, and there's so much time. There's not enough time. You're playing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and before you know it, you're either into the next stage, looking forward to some amazing fixtures, or you're on the plane home. And having experienced being on that plane home, it was, I think, it was weird. I think that week in Hobart were so different to the Middle East last year, because we were able to see friends and family this time, and there was no kind of sitting in your hotel room after a game, and all you could do was think about cricket. So it was a different vibe and a different kind of buzz around the group, because you weren't in each other's pockets, and that was cool as well. But certainly the mindset was to get out of the group and just do whatever we could to get out of that group. But obviously the message throughout the year had been, we want to play a certain way. And certainly I think from halfway, 10 overs into the second innings of the Scotland game, I think you saw the way we wanted to play. And naturally it culminated in the West Indies game. And I think that was probably our most perfect T20 game, certainly since I've been involved in the team. And yeah, I suppose just the timing of it was pretty good.
I know the weather wasn't great when you got there first, and you were down in Randy Peet's. What was the benefits of being there, even though the weather didn't really work out?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was absolutely horrendous weather. I remember speaking to you and trying to find shelter. It was just so bad, and it didn't break. We sort of saw it about a week out that the forecast wasn't going to be great, but contingency plans were put in place. We had access to indoor facilities. And I think just going back to the clarity point, everyone knew their roles or was pretty familiar with what roles they had to play. So if we had an hour training outside because there was a break in the weather, people got out and they did what they had to do for 10, 15 minutes in their role when they play. Whereas before it would have been like, oh, I might be batting 7 or I might be batting 5. What's my role? Whereas everyone was really clear with what they had to do. So, you know, someone like Gareth Delaney goes in and tries to hit a 6 from ball 1. So he's going to practice that for 10 minutes if we have that short period. So that was the clarity. And there was that in training, because it was a bit all over the place. You know, we were going out to an indoor school. Lads, it's going to break for an hour. Let's get out into the pitch in Coogee. And the ground staff were brilliant, actually, because it was literally like on the phone, Heinrich was like, lads, we have the grass for an hour. And lads are putting the pads on. But everyone was clear with what they wanted to do, even though it was a short time. So it's a lovely place to go. It's a really welcoming place to go, and it was no different this summer end.
Was it difficult to having so much disruption to the preparations, even though it was beyond your control?
No, not really. I think one of the things we keep talking about is, you know, having resilient, adaptable cricketers. And in T20 cricket, it gets even highlighted even more. You know, so I think all of that wasn't ideal. And in a perfect world, you know, you'd want to go out there and train 3 hours a day and make sure that people are prepared. But in the same breath, we just embraced the piece that, look, it's not ideal. And as the, you know, as Bally's mentioned there, if we've got an hour here, what do you need to do within the side to be ready to play tomorrow? Which almost sort of then rolled over to that week we had in Hobart, because, you know, there was no time to train in between the game days. It was thick and fast. So, and I guess, you know, reflecting on that again and people now understanding that, creating clarity and being really specific in what that actually looks like for them and building a routine around that. There will be days when things will be easy and you can have, you know, the easy part of getting prepared. And then there's other days when, you know, it might rain in between, but you still got to go out there and do your job. So how do we prepare for that?
It's just like being in Ireland, really.
Without the beach.
Well, no, it hasn't rained as much in Ireland since I've been here. So.
That was the funny thing, is that every Australian person was saying, oh, you've taken the weather, you brought the weather over with you. And I was like, we haven't. Like, we've had lovely weather.
It actually hasn't rained as much as it usually does. Yeah. So you said the West Indies was the most perfect performance. Why?
I think naturally it was such a huge game. It was do or die. It was you win the game, you've got another five games, whatever it is, on the big stage. You lose, you know. I think we found out after that we beat the West Indies that if we had lost, it was a 5 a.m. leave the next morning home. So yeah. I think if we had heard that before the game, who knows what would have happened. But
you would have won by more.
Yeah, potentially. I think we just started well with the ball. We had a bit of momentum. We knew that they'd hit the ball in the air. Now, some of them would go into the stand, but some of them would give us chances. And I think we took pretty much, you know, we didn't feel well in that World Cup. I think that was plain to see. Our catching wasn't great. But in that game, I don't think we put a chance down and we caught everything that went in the air. And certainly at the halfway stage, we knew that it was a good wicket and it was pretty small square. So you could kind of, we saw in the second game, you could catch up pretty quickly. So we just knew if we started well, we'd pretty much be in the driver's seat, and we did that. And yeah, it was a special day, I think, having friends and family there and just the excitement of it all, the pressure of that game. It was a different pressure, though. Like I said, I couldn't believe how relaxed I was that week, because last year, you know, I was completely stressed because I knew how important it was to get through the group, whereas this year there was just a different different vibe to the group. Like I said earlier, just being able to go out and see your friends and family, that makes such a big difference to your mind
even space. Just being able to go out, because
go out for a coffee, yeah. And like before breakfast and see your mum and dad, is, you know, it made such a big difference. And I think it was a pretty perfect performance, one that I've not been involved in too often in this Irish team.
I always think when players are playing in these do or die games, it's great for them because at least they have that bit of control. But I think when it's the coach, think of the coaches, then it's quite difficult for them because they're just hoping that the players follow the process and that the result comes. What was it like for you?
It's a great question, because the amount of times that we sit next to the ground as coaching staff and go, why is belly boarding this guy? And then the same guy comes up, bowls, takes three wickets, and then we go, what do we know? So I guess that's the point that we're trying to make in terms of, you know, empowering our players to make those decisions, you know, have these conversations in the lead up to our game, do our preparation, do our planning, you know, being clear around what is a matchup, what does the stats say, but still allow the gut feel of your leadership group, your captain out there, because ultimately they play the game and they've got to react to what's in front of them. And, you know, we talk about being adaptable. To me, that's exactly what it is. You know, we've got to play what's in front of us, sum up the conditions, have communication as a group. What does that mean? You know, the game continually changes in that space too, in terms of what's happening on the scoreboard. And, you know, the more we can have consistent communication, reviewing that piece, and the quicker that process keeps revolving around our leadership group through the rest of the site, the more everyone's clear about what needs to happen and how they impact the game. And hopefully we can keep building on that and see some of these special performances like we have.
So getting to the Super 12s, Heinrich, did you have expectations beyond that?
I think we prepare the same way. You know, it doesn't matter who we play. I think that's a consistency we try and create around being ready to play cricket. You know, so every game that we prepare for is, you know, we go in with that mindset about winning. So, you know, we went into the Super 12 phases exactly the same we went in that week in Hobart. You know, we prepared to play and prepared to play and win. Obviously, you know, we knew that we were playing teams that are okay, but we're an okay side too, you know, and I think we've shown that to ourselves over a period of time. And T20 is such a fickle game in any case, you know, we've seen that small little pieces or small little blocks in a game by one person influence the whole outcome of the game. And I guess that's something for us moving forward, where we, you know, we want to keep seeing people impact the game. And it doesn't matter if they don't get it right the whole time, as long as we keep dovetailing like we've done through this whole summer. You've seen a lot of our players over periods of time have influenced the game. And the more we believe in that understanding of what that looks like, the more people will do that. And hopefully the more time we'll get across the line.
Beating England, of course, captured the imagination of everybody back here, because that's what Irish sports fans love to see. When you're playing in that, though, or, you know, when that game is coming up, does that weigh on you?
Not really. I think, certainly from my point of view, I think I'm a bit, not past that, but I think all those games are so important. Mm. I think the significance of doing it at the MCG was pretty special. We played a warm-up game there against Namibia, and I actually pulled up in the warm-ups and I was so disappointed that I might not get to play at this ground. And I remember chatting to the staff, and a big part of that was, you know, if you don't play today and you're fit next week, you can get through and play England, the MCG, and that was like, yeah, let's do that instead. So certainly the history behind the ground, all of that, it was incredibly special. But at the time, you don't kind of get sucked into that too much. You're just like, right, how am I going to get off the mark, or how am I going to play Rashid, or small things like that. But then certainly after it, you kind of go, okay, that was pretty cool. And you understand back home that it's going to pick up traction because it's England.
It was the ticker on the Sky Sports, you know, like Big Shock, and it was in the yellow going across.
Yeah, and I think just because they were, obviously they were favourites, they won the competition. They're an incredibly good T20 team, and probably, I said at the time, I still thought they were the best team in the world, and that they could probably win the competition. And we didn't play great cricket, which was kind of hard to believe because our collapse was catastrophic. Like, we had a brilliant start and we lost, I don't know what it was, 37 wickets for maybe 30, and we were distraught at half time and dropped catches. Like, we were, and then you look up the board and it says Ireland win, and you're like, we haven't played our best cricket there. So that was confident, that gave us confidence on its own. And certainly it was disappointing the Afghanistan game was rained off, because that could have really been set us up for a push for the semi-finals. And I think looking back in the competition, there are highlights, but it still is disappointing because it felt like there was an opportunity there to go even further, but that's just the game, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess it's momentum, isn't it? You know, when you do have that confidence and you feel like your nation's behind you because you've done something so special, and then not to have the opportunity to maybe go after a game that you could potentially get a result in, like Afghanistan, is difficult.
Look, let's not kid ourselves. Afghanistan's a good, pretty good team too. you know, they've shown over periods of time that they're a really good side. But I guess the disappointing thing is, at least if you play, you know, if you don't get across line, you don't get across line. But you've had the opportunity to try and influence it. Where, obviously, if it rains, it rains, and you can't really do anything about it.
Yeah. So was it lost on you, the significance of beating England, or was your WhatsApp going with all your new friends at home?
look, I think it was more the, you know, Bally's mentioned that when we played Namibia in that warm-up game at the MCG, and I think one of the key points we spoke about afterwards, as he's mentioned that, you know, was let's get back here and let's play, you know, in the second round against against England at the MCG. You know, there's double headers, there'll be huge crowds and that sort of stuff. And I think to then be able to do that and get across the line and play a certain way, and even reflecting back on it, as Bally's mentioned, you know, we haven't nearly played a really good game of cricket, but we still showed ourselves that we don't just compete, we can actually get across the line. And that's the sort of belief we want to keep driving out there. It doesn't have to be perfect, but, you know, let's just get the job done.
After that, then, I guess it's a bit of a roller coaster. You've highs and then you've lows, like Australia and New Zealand. Was that difficult then, that you kind of couldn't follow it up or didn't get the opportunity to follow it up?
Yeah, it was. Certainly going into the Australia game, there was confidence in the group that we could beat them, and that's certainly a mindset that hasn't always been, you know, we've always known that if we play really good cricket and get them on an off day, we could turn them over. But there was a different shift. It was like, if we play good cricket and they play good cricket, we could beat them. I thought we had a pretty good first half against Australia. I felt, you know, it certainly felt like it was probably the best wicket we played on. But what were we, 30 for 5? I think in years gone by, we would have been 60 or 70 all out. So I think that wherever we finished, I think when we were 8 down needing 40, I still thought we could win, because Lorcan was in and playing, you know, one of the best T20 innings I've seen in a green shirt. I still felt we could win if someone stayed in with him. So that was the belief, to still think we could beat Australia in Australia, 8 wickets down needing 40. That shouldn't really happen, but it did, and everyone in the dugout thought we could still win that game. But and then certainly the New Zealand game, again, we were in a pretty good position to chase it down and fell away at the end. But these are good teams. Like, that's the kind of thing you have to keep reminding yourself, is if you're off a bit, you're gonna pay for it, and that's the difference. Is I said it after the last game, is that we're getting closer to these teams, but we're still a bit off, and that showed in a couple of instances in those kind of games against the top top teams in the world.
Would you have a similar assessment, Heinrich?
The best part about, especially the Australia game, is the mindset shift that we've had. There was at 10 overs down, Lorcan was going beautifully. I think Stephen Downey came back, and we just asked him, hey, what's the message out from the middle? And straight to the point, Lorcan said he's going to keep taking these guys down. Now, I think, you know, knowing that we were 24-5 or whatever we were, to then at the halfway stage have one guy and still have that belief that we're going to win this game and he's going to do it on his own, I think that sums it up. And look, it was disappointing that we got ourselves in positions, but I think it's also the reflection and the learning piece now, heading into this new cycle from 23, where we're going to play a lot of cricket. To make sure that once we get into those positions again, right, what are we looking to do now? And not just have that intent, but actually put the action to that intent.
One of the things that you wanted was to be a team that people wanted to watch. And definitely back home throughout, you were a team that people wanted to watch. So that was a big goal achieved.
Yeah, and the key thing now is to continue that. I don't think we want it to be just at a World Cup where people watch us. We want it to be when we're playing Zimbabwe in an ODI series in Harare, or we're playing a test match in Sri Lanka. We want to grow the sport and make it as big as possible. So it's great to be on the world stage and be fun to watch, but we want to create that every time we play. And it won't come off, and we will lose games, and that's just the nature of it. But certainly if we're playing a certain way, it's important that people kind of, you know, want to get up in the morning, because it's a commitment to watch a game of cricket. There's no doubt about it. It's not like a 90-minute game. It's a one-day game, takes up the whole day.
I'm a big fan of the early morning sport, actually. I love that.
Yeah, and like the time difference, different parts of the world and people getting up at 5 a.m. to watch you. But you want, you know, I was a kid getting up for the 2002 Football World Cup, and, you know, with great excitement. And I want that to happen for cricket. I want people to wake up at 5 a.m., kids to wake up and before they go to school.
Warning their parents, you better wake me up in the morning for the cricket.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we want to do, and that's the kind of legacy we want to leave.
So, Heinrich, 2023 is just around the corner. For you, what are the key goals?
I think the goal is always the same. You know, we want to win. That's the nature of international sport, but it's the consistency in the way we go about our business in that space. You know, we've got some challenges as well. You know, we haven't played any red ball cricket for a period of time. We've got some players that, you know, that are pretty inexperienced in that space. You know, we're touring Bangladesh and Sri Lanka to play test cricket, which, you know, subcontinental conditions is a challenge for experienced cricketers when they go there. So, I mean, that to me is also a huge part of the excitement around where we're at. You know, we're going to get exposed to different things. We've spoken about being resilient, being adaptable, and all these things are going to get tested again. So I think that to me is the excitement of what's coming up is overrides anything that, you know, we can put down and say we need to do this and this. It's more the consistency piece around how we operate on a daily basis, knowing that we're going to play a lot of cricket, you know, knowing that we're going to have some natural attrition around injuries, personnel is going to come in and out. You know, the well-being side of things, I think we've worked out there could be, you know, about 130 days, of which 119 will be, you know, on the road, which is the life of an international cricketer. And for some of us, that'll be the first time that we've actually experienced that. So, you know, how are we going to deal with that? And all of that's exciting, you know, and people are going to, everyone's going to react differently to it. And, you know, so it's not just the batting and bowling side of things we've got to be aware of, but also, you know, the squad piece, the family piece, the well-being piece, and look, it's something that we're really excited about.
What are you looking forward to most about 2023?
I think just playing again. I think we haven't played since the World Cup. It's not like it was ages ago. But I think you get away from the game for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and it's always nice. Like, it is important to kind of recharge, but certainly just getting back at it. And we have a 50-over World Cup to try to qualify for. That's, yeah, at the start of when I was given the captaincy, I said that was my main goal, is to qualify for that World Cup. And it's still potentially doable in the Super League. It, you know, it depends on other results as well. But if that doesn't go our way, we'll have to qualify at a tournament, and that's fine too. So that's a big goal of mine, and it has been from the off. But yeah, there's so much to look forward to. Test cricket, it's funny, I remember in Hobart, I think one of the mornings of the Scotland game, we went for a walk and just had a coffee, and we were chatting about the game, and then all of a sudden you asked me about, you know, what give me your test team. And I was like, what? Like, I was just like, where is this going from? And I was trying to think, and it was very difficult because we haven't played red ball cricket, and it's going to be a challenge to, one, pick a team, and two, to try to find how to find a way to play the game, because test cricket is now changing. We're seeing that. We saw it yesterday in Pakistan. It is changing before our eyes, and you know, it's something we might have to try, to, you know, we don't get a lot of test cricket, we don't get a lot of opportunities to try it, but certainly we're going to have to find a way to play it and try to play it pretty quickly and see how we get on. But it's exciting. I think it's a huge year for us, a lot to be excited for, and yeah, just looking forward to kind of getting going in January.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to wrap up now, and really appreciate the insights that you've given us. I want to thank everybody who's listening to the Green Ball podcast regularly throughout the year as well. Remember to subscribe to the channel and keep up to date with all episodes of the Green Ball podcast. From Cricket Ireland and HPV Studios, we wish all cricket lovers a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.